I got my first proper surfboard when I was about 8 years old and surfed since then. You can just go in the ocean and just like forget about everything. Yeah, it's such an individual thing to be connected to the ocean and nature. It's good thinking time. Hi, my name's Sean Pollard. I'm 24. I live in Bunbury. A little over 12 months ago, I was an electrician, a footballer, a surfer, and that's been taken away from me. I moved around a lot when I was a kid. Mum and Dad broke up when I think I was about 8 years old, and so us three boys were left living with Mum, and she was looking after us, and moved into a Holmes West house in Bunbury, and I got a job as soon as I turned 16 as an apprentice electrician. I was really proud of how I'd gotten a job and was working and making my own living and being able to look after myself, and it was a super proud moment for me when I was able to buy my first house and move in there. I started renovating it, and when I first started being an electrician, I really enjoyed it. Like the work crew that we had when I was an apprentice was, well, I look back on it now and it's some of the best times of my life, even at work, and I really enjoyed working with my hands and being able to make things and wire everything from, you know, from a house to like a big commercial office or a big workshop. I really enjoyed it. I met Claire at the football club one night for a function. We just chatted, and then, yeah, a few months later, we caught up again down the pub, and she actually got me to come over and check out the downlights at her house because they were buzzing, making a funny noise. And so, yeah, I went over and she cooked me dinner, and then we kind of went from there. Claire and I went down to Esperance on school holidays because she gets the time off. She's a school teacher. That day, we checked a few of the beaches out and we surfed. Ended up surfing at Wiley Bay the day before. I think it was like a Wednesday. And it was really good. Like the waves were pumping. I surfed for like maybe 4 or 5 hours. And there was like, yeah, probably about 20 people in the water that day. The next day, we went back to Wiley Bay. The waves are a bit smaller. It's kind of overcast and there's no wind around. So the water was really, really smooth and calm. I'd been working so much that I hadn't had much of a chance to surf for like a few weeks. So I was trying to make the most of it while we were on holidays. And yeah, I went back out to get a couple more waves. And from behind me, I just felt this massive bump on my legs. And, you know, I thought my knee was dislocated. I didn't realise that they'd actually been cut and were bleeding everywhere, and this big shark came straight underneath me and swam out in front of me, like maybe 2 or 3 metres away, and I kind of paddled it towards it because it was in between me and the beach, and it swung around and came back at me, and I pushed my board out with my arms and put it between me and the shark, and the shark came back and took a huge chunk out of my board. And then took off again, and I kept paddling towards the beach, and then it just turned and came straight at me from probably 20 metres away. The fastest thing come through the water like a torpedo. I put my board out again and tried to shield myself, and this time it came out of the water and took my arms straight in its mouth across my body and took me underwater, and its eye was like straight in front of my face, and I have this cover which comes across and protects their eyes when they're attacking something. So it's just this image burning my head of this cover that comes across this black eye as it was chomping down on my arms. And then I was underwater for, it felt like ages, but it was probably like 15, 20 seconds. And the shark had me in its mouth and it was just thrashing around. It doesn't just shake its head like a dog does. The whole body torque comes through the shark's entire body, just ripping into you. So I popped up and my left arm had been torn off from the forearm, and there was this blood everywhere, and then I could see my board probably 10 metres out from where I was, and the shark was between me and my board. So I didn't go back to get my board. I started kicking towards the beach, and then from behind me, got bumped from another shark. So there was two of them there. That one kind of bumped me and then swam towards the other one. And then I just kept kicking my legs. I was facing up to the sky, just kicking. I looked out to the horizon again, and like a set wave popped up, and it was going to break just before it got to me. And as it was breaking, I could see the sharks through the wave. They were just, I don't know, like watching me or something. The wave broke just before me, and I managed to like body surf it a bit on my back, and then once it washed over me, another wave came, and I did the same again. I got into probably waist deep water, and I could stand up, and then that was when I looked down at my right arm, and my right hand was gone. That was when I screamed out help. I could see a couple of people at the beach, and Claire was on the beach as well. I got maybe to like knee deep water, and my legs just like failed because my knees had been ripped open. And then I was back in the water, and I started drifting off, like almost passing out, and just remember looking up at the sky, and then I closed my eyes, and the next thing I felt, it was someone grabbing me on the chest, and I looked up, and one of the guys that saved me, Pete, that was him. I don't think I'll ever forget his face. It was a pretty uncertain time for me and my family because, you know, not many people have to go through life with no hands, so there's a lot of challenges that laid ahead, and we tried to, work through a few of those while we were in hospital. We had a conversation with the surgeon, the guy that stitched me up, and he's an amputee doctor, so he'd seen a fair bit of it, and he just said, you know, you got to find how things will work for you. There's no clear answer. You just got to work through it and find your way of doing it. I mainly talk to Claire when I'm having trouble with something. We've got a pretty good understanding with each other, and we can talk about anything, and we work through it. I know people have really started to worry about sharks, and it never really bothered me back then. And even now, like, I still go to the beach every day. You know, I was going to the beach every day since I was like 5 years old, and to only ever see like two sharks and a couple of the smaller ones, I think it gets blown way out of proportion for what the true danger is. If someone wants to, you know, protect themselves, there's stuff out there. You can get shark shields that you put in your board, and there's shark shields for divers. So most people come up, they're pretty good, but you do get a few people that, you know, they think that you need to hear their opinion on sharks and what the problem is, but I try to ignore people like that. And it's a funny thing to be someone's inspiration or their hero. It doesn't really sit too well with me, but I've done like a couple of talks at schools, and the kids absolutely froth, so that's pretty cool. But it's pretty strange when you get a grown man come up to you almost in tears saying how much of an inspiration you are. That I feel like I haven't really done anything to be called a hero, you know. It was more just like a fight for my own life. Some days I have pretty down days, like if I'm at home and I struggle with something, say I drop a cup or something like that, I get pretty shitty. Yeah, going out and people are staring at you, and it's pretty hard some days. And then other days, you know, I push through, and a lot of people ask me if I feel lucky. I don't know if that's the right word. I think I'm really unlucky to be attacked by a shark, but I'm thankful for what I've still got.